The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the morning that we discuss about business, economics, and development affairs, particularly what is happening in the world, in the continent of Africa, and indeed in Namibia. And yeah, it's the 22nd of December, 2025, and there is only one to 2 days there before Christmas. And we understand most of you are already at the place, at places where you're supposed to enjoy your Christmas. Some of you are traveling, some of you are still pushing, and we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, particularly those who make sure that they keep the light on, those who make sure that they protect our properties and also our lives, the security guards, the law enforcement agencies. We're greeting the military, immigration officers, and those who make sure that, Namibia is protected, because there are always people that are making sure that the country is being protected, and to make sure that our lives and properties are safe. You speak about also the lifesaver, such as paramedics, particularly this time of the festive season. We are greeting you, and the great work that you are putting out there should not go unrecognized. That's why it's always very important to make sure that we give that appreciation. Where are you? Where are you finding yourself this morning? And what are you busy with? Are you still at work? Are you on your way home? Are you just awaking from last night, events? Are you still pushing? But yeah, we are here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And this is Early Morning Scoop. That's why we always like to give you a motivation to say, even if 2025 is coming to an end, do not worry, because you still have a few days to make your point. You still have a few days to make sure that when it comes to the plans of 2025, you can still achieve them. But even if you did not achieve them, the fact that you are alive, the fact that you are healthy, the fact that you can listen and you can also walk, can also be one of the blessings. Let us look ahead. Let us look at what 2026 have for us. And there is no point for regretting about unachieved goals, unless you are not learning what is that you did wrong. What is that you need to do differently? And how should you push moving forward? Yeah, there is a lot of things which have been happening, particularly during the weekend. And when it comes to, when it's coming to some of the development, particularly during the weekend, you'll be able to see that when it comes to sport, Tony Joshua happened to defeat Jake Paul. Jake Paul in one of the sixth round. Actually, it was a special organizing boxing event, and Jake Paul is a YouTuber who turned professional, and he's also one of the guys who defeated Uncle Mike or Mike Tyson at some point, but did not go well to him, especially facing the heavyweight boxer Anthony Joshua. So Jake Paul was defeated on the sixth round. And also to look at is Andrew Tate, one of a well-known kickboxer and also well-known influencer kickboxer, was also beaten at one of the organized, boxing event. And, one of the things that, he mentioned, particularly, after he defeated, that he was very happy to show up. And, he will come back strong. And also to thank, that of who defeated him. You look at the man with millions of dollars and, being humbled by punches. You can also learn to say a man's character is also being defined, particularly, when you are in trouble, when you are defeated, because, they are saying winning can bring arrogance, but when you are defeated, it's really, define who you are. And, it's also something to learn to say in defeat. Your true character will come out. Are you going to give up? Are you going to insult people? Or you are going to learn from your mistake? Those were some of the events which are happening in the weekend, particularly when it comes to boxing. And we are seeing particularly influencers and YouTubers turning into professional, especially when it comes to professional boxing. And also the fact that once these influencer or individuals from the creative industry start to raise, also an aspect of money, because if you have followers, even if you are defeated, you can still go home with some package. But it's quite also interesting thing to look at. Yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, because yes, it has always been the case. It's always very important to make sure that we look ahead. We look ahead at 2026, especially today when we are going to speak about our expectation from Namibia financial institutions such as the Central Bank, commercial banks, investment agencies, and also those who are dealing with finance to say, what is that we are going to do differently in 2026? And, what is that need to be addressed as a matter of agency? And also, where are we standing financially? Because it has been stated that we are stable. But when you look at, the months that passed by after just we repaid our, euro bond of $750 million. I like to say we couldn't operate on our own. We need more money for us to develop. And also to operate. And you must be able also to understand that economists have also been indicating that for full implementation of NDP 6, we need about 500 billion there for full implementation. That is the next 3 years, 4 years now. Because we are not counting 2025 anymore. But that is a conversation that we are going to enter to say when it's coming to financial institution, especially looking at 2026, where are we going to stand? But before we go to that conversation, let us look at Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. It was stated that this trio, these three countries, that is, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. When they form, the Alliance of Sahel region, they form their regional economic body. They also launched a Sahel region force. They've also launched an army, standby army, to defend these countries. Remember, it's Niger, it's Mali, it's Burkina Faso. These are the countries which are being led by military junta, or they are being led by the military. And, they also voluntarily, resign from, ECOWAS. And, at this point, you'll be able to realize that, they also form their trio. They stand on their own. And, they form what is called the Alliance of, the Sahel, region. Or Sahel Alliance, but it was stated that just in the weekend they have launched an army that is at an air force base in Bamako, Mali. And it was indicated that General Assimi Goïta presided over the ceremony marking the creation of unified force for Sahel countries. And, you know, when you look ahead and you also compare how, you know, regional economic blocks operate, I'll be able to understand maybe this is going to be one of the influential trio, because when they have standby force or they launch an army to work together, you realize to say when it comes to threats facing these countries, they will be able also to face them and also challenge them, particularly when you speak about terrorists, especially the Islamic groups in that area. And you know, is it the new United States of Africa, or are they going to turn it into one country? Because you look at maybe because they are not a lot, they are moving faster than the agenda of African Union. They are moving faster than the agenda of African Union, because if you already have one standby, you know, force, next thing is standby currency, then they become one of the formidable force. But it's quite a very interesting thing to look at, to say why really countries, what is that that they realize that African Union is not doing? Or what is that that they realize that ECOWAS is not doing? And what force these countries to form an alliance and stand on their own? And also, is there something that the African Union is not doing right? Or is there something that ECOWAS is not doing right? And what is this saying about the future of the African Union? And also the future of democracy in Africa, because it's three countries, both generals and also the captain. They came to power through military coup, and they are working together. And there was a time ECOWAS wanted to intervene, and they said one of them, if you touch one of them, you touch all of them. And it is stated that in January, Niger Defense Minister said the 5,000 strong force would intervene together to counter security threat in the region. It's 5,000 strong force. It's a standby force between Mali, Niger, and also Burkina Faso. And you may also be able to look at to say, looking at the future, how are things going to be, and also what will be some of the development, particularly looking into that line. And yeah, there is it's also it's an ongoing Africa and also Russia summit, but we'll look into this after a short commercial break, then you can gauge into that aspect.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ripura nenge lo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM, otuna evi toda njuka, okukwetera oipindi kono Honda doinawa. Nune udo, otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, omafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And, you know, looking in the weekend, there was also an ongoing, Russia-Africa Partnership Forum, where various countries, diplomats and representatives attended, especially in Cairo, Egypt. And we are also represented by our Minister of International Relations and Trade, especially when you look at this conference. And you must also be able to realize that when it's coming to Russia and Africa, there is still a strong influence, and there is no country, there is no powerful state in the world without a plan for Africa. And we'll also be able to see that Russia and Africa, So expanding their influence, especially when it coming to issues of trade and also issues of economic relations. And one thing that you need to understand, particularly when you follow diplomacy, you might be able to understand that although Russia has cooperation with African state, they don't really speak much. But when you look at the history of African development or the history of African politics, you must be able to realize that actually at the beginning it was Russia, Cuba, China that have been central, particularly when it's coming to the liberation of African countries. But post 1990, after the collapse of Soviet Union, be able to realize that it's like Africa have been for quite not really so long abandoned Russia over choosing the Western world. But looking at how things are going now, be able to realize that Africa and Russia also have partnership agreement and they work together, not only trade but also in other area of either cultural relations and also economic affairs. But you'll be able to agree with me that the diplomacy of Russia is silent. And I don't really speak much. Even if I ask you today, who is the ambassador of Russia Federation to the Republic of Namibia, you may not really be able to tell me. Even if you know, you'll be able to realize that it's not really, something that has been open so much. But that is what has been going on, especially looking at Namibia and also Africa at large, especially when it comes to Africa and Russia partnership, forum. And also we must be able to realize that it's not only China with technology. It's also not only China with advanced, technological institutions. You'll be able to realize that when it's coming to medicine, when it's coming to science, when it's coming to nuclear, you'll be able to realize that Russia is also one of the countries with top scientists, looking at how they have been doing and also the relationship with African countries. When it's coming to trade, either is uranium or either is other critical minerals. And looking at countries such as the Sahel regions and also former colonies of France, we'll be able to realize that after this country realized that the military or cooperation with France was not working, they choose cooperation with Russia, especially when you look at countries such as Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and many others. And they've been assisting in fighting terrorism, particularly the Islamic-motivated terrorist groups that are terrorizing Africa, not only in the northern part, but they are also here in the southern part of Africa, especially the side of Mozambique. And you'll be able to see that it's a matter of agency. Security should be able to be prioritized. Yeah, while we are there, some of the development which happening in Namibia, be able to realize that when it comes to it's coming to Bank of Namibia. Mr. Emmerson Waguta is now the governor. He's now the governor of Bank of Namibia after Dr. Johannes Kawahab left the post after he decided to step down. And It has been anticipated, particularly looking at the leadership of BON as very strong and one of the most influential, or to be influential, institution in any country, because having a central bank, one of the strong, powerful institution that you can have, particularly when it comes to the backbone of the economy. And it was stated that the President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah appointed Emmerson Waguta as the governor of Bank of Namibia for the next 5 years. And looking at the history of his leadership, he has been around particularly through the financial sector, the economic sector, either is economic research, either is leadership within financial institution. It's a guy to go to, and let us hope coming 2026, Bank of Namibia will be practical as it's needed, and will also transform Namibian economy. And looking at his qualification, he's an experienced economist with a master's in economic policy and analysis from Addis Ababa University, and also has been a deputy governor for quite a long time, and he has also been there, especially during the time of Tateshimi, Pumbushimi. And I think it also requires somebody with a strong character, especially when it's coming to decisions of the central bank and also leadership of Namibia economy. Yeah, moving forward, it's also quite important to look at Namibia newly appointed ambassador to the United States of America. Ambassador Wilbert Herao has been accepted there in the United States of America, at the White House, been accepted as an ambassador, because for a process to become an ambassador, cannot just be appointed here at home, because other country, they also have to accept you. And, you have to present, what is called letters of, credence. Then you have to be accepted by the receiving state. And, it's a very critical position, especially when it comes to the world of changing and fluctuating geopolitical in the world. Either is trade, either its economy. United States is still a very strong and influential state, no matter situations which are happening. You'll be able to realize that somebody who is sent to represent Namibia, that one of the most powerful states in the world, is most trusted. And let us hope the relationship of Namibia and the United States will be strengthened, particularly on what Namibia get, and also to say how Namibia will be treated, especially in the world of geopolitical change. And let's see what will happen moving forward. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at the shootout in South Africa. And you are just asking yourself to say in South Africa, and you know, shootout, a gun in South Africa now is like a toy. It was indicated that 9 people killed, 10 wounded in South Africa pub shootout. And there have been a report of serious cases in South Africa there. Either it's a gang shootout, either it's a taxi war. But let us look at the short commercial break and look at what is happening to our neighboring country, what is happening to our big brother, and also what really need to be done, especially in the lesson learned, because there is a saying to say, when other people are in trouble, you must not only laugh, but you must also learn to say, what can we do to make sure that some of these things should not escalate to Namibia, especially when it's coming to shootouts, it's coming to money heist, cash in transit. And you're also shocked because in Namibia, when it's coming to cash in transit, robbery, those were things that were really happening. But looking at the recent case, where something can even happen in the daylight, you're able to see that some of these things that are learned from outside. But let's look at a short commercial break, then we can move on with this news. And remember, today we'll speak about what we expect from financial institutions, and also what we expect from ourselves. And we have been saying, as long as we are speaking about IMF should put itself in order, we should also not forget that we also have our financial institution here. Either it's the Development Bank of Namibia, either it's Bank of Namibia itself, either it's Namfisa, either it's, there is FNB, and there is Bengwinduk, and many other financial institutions, to say what are their role in the economic development, what profits are they making, how much are they investing in Namibian infrastructure, and what is that we expect anew, especially when you look at there is a new sheriff in town at the Bank of Namibia. There's also a new sheriff in town at Namibia Investment Bond. And it's also a new sheriff in town, Development Bank of Namibia. And let's see how 2026 is going to look like, especially when it's coming to development, practical development, a development that is touching on an individual, a development that is not only discussed at the national level, but a development that can be felt by somebody in Opuo, by somebody in Nepukiro, by somebody in Omitara there, to say, can this change within the police or BN, for example, be felt by somebody at in Omitara, somebody in Kietman, deep down there, deep down the farms, be able to see that when coming to financial institution, what is that we are going to do differently, especially when it coming to not really to say to radicalize financial institution, but transform and also become practical. Because if I have to ask you what have happened in the past 9 months, what have happened in the past 9 months, what is that you can say is really tangible apart from still speaking about policy, apart from still speaking about defending those who need to be defended? What is that standing infrastructure that we have built? What is that finance that have been transferred to the needy? And how many lives have been shaped? Or we are still continue to be on the studies. We are still continuing to be on the records, but not really tangible evidence. That is a conversation that we are going to drive. But before we go that, we are going to look at what has happened in SA. Then we'll move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ripura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ilinawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka okwene ushendi fenawa nukumona oijemo ilinawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kondelewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and we are here until the hour of 8. And it was stated that 9 people have been killed and 10 wounded in a South Africa pub shooting. And looking at this incident, it was stated that the incident occurred before 1 a.m. in the township of Bekkersdal, just 46 kilometers west of Johannesburg. And the mass shooting happened after one incident which have happened 3 weeks ago, and about 12 unknown suspects in a white minibus and a silver sedan opened fire at the pub patron at Kwanohoro Tavern in Tabo section, that is South Africa. And just 12 unknown suspects, one in a minibus and also in a white sedan, a silver sedan, randomly shooting people at the tavern. You'll be able to realize that South Africa has been known for gang war. And you'll also be able to realize that there have been a lot of incidents happening, especially when it comes to infiltration of South Africa criminal justice system. And you can also be able to see that when it comes to this incident, even senior police officers are not the exception. Even witnesses are not the exception, because South Africa, as analysts are saying, is not becoming Colombia. They're saying it's a Mexico of Africa. Because what is happening is quite something that really need to be looked at, especially when you want to upgrade the security. And this also able to prove that, when you speak about crime, speak about areas prone to crimes, When you speak also about what Donald Trump has been saying, although the aspect of white genocide has no evidence, when it comes to crime, these are also some of the things that, you know, sometimes, even if you want to protect your own country, that of who within your own country are going to sell you out due to such incidents. Imagine just enjoying yourself at the pump. And people are preparing for Christmas. And just people, random shooting. And when you speak about 9 people are killed and 10 wounded, that was a mass shooting. It was a mass shooting because normally, even if it's very difficult to just, you know, kill such a lot of people in the same time. And you can also be able to see that when it's coming to South Africa, a criminal investigation unit stated that a manhunt has been initiated. And you can also be able to ask yourself a question to say, looking at that context with divided police in South Africa, divided units within South African police with an ongoing investigation, how is the security, security, internal security? And looking at the records, it's not the first time. It was also stated that another shooting killed 16 people in Johannesburg Township in Soweto. That happened in 2022 on the same day. 4 people were killed in a mass shooting at a bar in another province. And the records are saying almost 26,000 homicides in 2024, or more than 70 homicides per day on average. South Africa has one of the highest homicide rates in the world. Firearms are by far the leading cause of death in homicides, although the nation of 62 million has, comparatively strong gun control. But looking at that context, 26,000 homicides in 2024. And on average, you have 70 homicides per day. Realize to say, crime and also inequality, they are siblings. Crimes and inequalities are siblings, because in most cases where you see poverty, if you look at the records of what they call favelas in Brazil, there is a high rate of unemployment, economic inequality, prostitution and crime. They are the order of the day. And also drug trade. Then you will also be able to realize to say the issue of prolonged economic inequality. People start engaging in gang activities. And you can also be able to see that a lot of prominent people in South Africa have been also killed. Look at celebrities such as AK of the people, and also many others, especially from the entertainment industry. And let's see what will happen moving forward, especially when it's come to strengthening of the security, because this is not only a problem of South Africa, it's also a problem of Namibia, because also when you look at not so long ago, when Namibian police lost some of the weapons, and they were found or used in those, gang activities in South Africa, you'll be able to realize that, economic inequality, and also poverty, and also corrupt officials can also lead to destruction of the country, and also unsafe of people. And guns in South Africa, it's like toys now. But it's also something that we need to be looked at, especially when it comes to security. And maybe while we are there, it's also a question of asking to say, which which area also in Namibia has highest records of criminal activities, at what season, what has been done, what is new, what is Home Affairs doing, what is the Namibian police doing new to make sure that when it's coming to the prevention of crime, when it's coming to public education. And also, at the center of that is a discussion of resource distribution. There is always a debate to say people are not justifying to say it's because of poverty that you must commit a crime. But you'll be able to realize that a hungry person is manipulatable. Easy to manipulate. Hungry person does not have a lot of options, but they may end up doing anything to survive. That's why you find somebody kill a person just for $20, or somebody just pay 2,000 Namibian dollars and end up also being a hired hitman. Be able to see that is how critical the situation is. And that is also going to be linked to the discussion that we are having, we're going to have today, to say it looks like normal when you look at Namibians, especially when you look at the festive season. You think everybody is well off. You think everybody has money. But you must also be able to realize that the numbers, they don't lie. And the question also that you need to ask yourself to say, there are also people with money. But you also be able to see, when you ask this person, can you show me where you took this money? They'll not be able to tell you. But that is also telling you to say, a lot of criminal activities can be happening, but it's only that they are not yet reported. But what can we do to make sure that we don't only look at prevention of criminal activities, but we look at satisfying Namibian people, especially when you look at financial institutions in Namibia. And looking at the policies, looking at the programs in place, what has been stated, looking at the amount of money, looking at activities which have been happening, the question will always arise to say, what is that that is going to be done new? What is that that is going to be done new? Because it's a matter of fact, apart from the beautiful youth fund which has been presented, most of the things about changing the status quo has been elevated speech. Most of the things about changing the status quo have been elevated speech. We speak more about it. We speak more about it. We are, being creative about our speeches. And I was reading various reports, and I found a thread, especially when it's coming to the report, either it's ministries or, head of institutions. One of the things which is coming out is this, where to say, no, this policy is more than a policy, policy is more than a policy pronunciation, but it's a very important commitment. I don't know where the writers get that, or maybe because there is a sense to say a lot of policies have been collecting dust. And I've seen it because, when a policy is being launched, when a strategic plan is being presented, just read, take any document, especially 2020-2025, most of the CEOs, most of the heads, they are saying, no, this is more than a document. Then the question is that, what is new? Because all others which came before that have been documents. This is more than a document, but it's a commitment to how serious Namibia is when it comes to development. It has always been stated like that. And I'm just asking myself to say, now, is this a new phrase which is being used to continue communicating that it's still a document, but it's not a document like others? So that is why today we are also going to look at some of the numbers, especially looking at how much financial institution put into Namibian development, and how many people really have benefited from that aspect, and looking at the statistics, and also to ask a question to say, Are we going to get data, maybe next year, especially on our progress on the environmental projects? Who is responsible for tracking of those data, especially when it's coming to developmental projects in Namibia? Because it's really not a good thing to speak about. This is more than a document. We are going to intensify monitoring and evaluation. But at the end of the day, we do not have data yet. We are still trying to find the data. So, something that really need to be looked at. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we look at the conversation for today. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Where are you preparing to host your Christmas party? Where are you preparing to enjoy life with your family members, your loved ones? Are you still pushing, or you are at the front line of economic development? Because this battle of economic emancipation should be won, because it's not correct, it's not right. We cannot continue to say this is more than a document, and we cannot continue to invest more in publishing, invest more in drafting documents, in drafting plans, but little to nothing is being presented. That is why we are always asking to say, what is that that can be done anew? Is it going to be a business as usual? And I do not know. Maybe it's also to keep professionalism, and also to keep things going. When somebody left a position and somebody take over, yeah, there's always appreciation to say, we are going to build on the foundation that this person has laid. We're going to build on the foundation we are thanking this person. But maybe it's a matter of professionalism. But really sometimes there's no foundation. Or sometimes there is few. If you are going to build on that, or sometimes you just need to completely come up with a new foundation. But maybe it's an art of words and art of communication, especially when it comes to poverty eradication, needed as a matter of agency, and also not a matter of just documents, just plans, but really few to nothing. And what can be done differently moving forward? So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we look at a few financial institutions. We look at Development Bank. We look at BON. And we are also going to present our expectation from those who are leading, and also those who are at the center of this institution, particularly looking at 2026.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angetashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa Ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The Early Birds Catches the Worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and today we are looking at 2026. To say 2026 is not only around the corner, we are already in the corner. We can see it, and it's not 1 week from here, it's not 2 weeks, it's next week Wednesday. It's next week Wednesday. That is 2026 for you. And looking at that aspect, to say everything should be treated with agency, especially things that affect an ordinary Namibian. Everything should be treated with agency, especially things that has to do with food, shelter, security, and health of an individual. Now, Namibia, being a beautiful country with a structure, system, processes, and institution, with its existence over the past 35 years, a lot of Namibians has been with hope, and we are still having hope to say one day Namibia will be transformed. One day those who are running the institution of the state, those who are handling Namibian finance, will be able to realize that there is more than what is on the book to make sure that a life is changed. There is more than a document to make sure that lives are changed. And also to see how many of this institution really sit and listen to what people are saying on the ground, and looking at the impact of what people are saying on the ground. There is really nothing that make me disappointed when you are sitting at a professional meeting where people are clapping hands about two people given assistance in a certain informal settlement, and you are asking yourself, could this just be just for the sake of formality and reporting? Are people really impacted? And there's nothing really which disappoints a person than seeing somebody being called to represent the informal sector. But when you look at this person is not from informal sector. We know people from informal sector. We know them. And when you look at a representative also of informal businesses, when you come to platforms, you realize to say, really sometimes the voice can really be heard about those people who are in the informal sector, who are doing informal businesses. But really, the person who is presenting this is not coming from that area. It's like somebody who form a union without being, or somebody who form workers union without being in the mine. You know, it's something that we really need to look at. That's why today we're going to say, if we trace back, let us start, for example, DBN. DBN is one of the financial institutions with the mandate to fund developmental projects, with the mandate of funding developmental projects. And through its existence over 20 years, last year, when we have attended the launch of, integrated annual report 2023-2024, it was stated that DBN invested 21 billion into Namibian economy over the past 20 years of its existence. And you are asking yourself to say, this is a development bank. How many people have benefited from that 21 billion Who did this money go to? Was a study done to look at the impact of that investment? Is this investment only going again to those who have? What about the have not? What is going to be done differently moving forward? What's going to be done differently moving forward? What were some of the challenges that those who apply for fundings from DBN have been facing? Were they assisted? What can be done differently? Because it's one thing to follow the law, and it's also one thing to be a human and understand that sometimes if the police is not on our side, it must be changed immediately to make sure that this money should not go back, or this money should not only benefiting few, but all the Namibians.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossen Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Yeah, we are continuing with early morning scoop. We look at what is need to be done, especially to strengthen financial institution. Speak about development bank and what measures are put in place to make sure that especially those who are able to pay, they pay back the finance that they have owed the development bank, so that the people can be assisted, because that was supposed to be a bank of the poor. That was supposed to be a bank of the poor. That was supposed to be a developmental fund of poor people. Because the good thing about development bank does not have an ATM where you can go and withdraw. Development bank is to fund a project. When it's coming to priorities, and you may also be able to ask yourself to say, for the past 20 years of DBN existence, how much was spent on agricultural projects, and are we seeing that? How much was spent on those who are in the agriculture sector, and are we seeing those results? Why are we still having a food insecurity in Namibia? Where did that money go to? How much was spent in building of, infrastructure, developmental infrastructure? And are we still going to continue the way we've been continuing doing? Because one thing about an established institution is that it's very difficult to change until those who are at the top give a recommendation to say, this institution is operating like this. These are the challenges that we have been facing. Because we will just be in 2040 clapping hands to say we have a best MD, a best CEO who followed all the policies, who books are balanced. But your books are balanced, but there is nothing that is being seen on the ground. We are not saying works are not being done, but we are just saying 2026, if we really want to achieve the vision 2030, we should not continue doing what we are doing. We should not continue doing what we are doing. And also, there have been complaints about collaterals that have been on the table. And we thank the government that now young people can get money from that through, youth fund. But the other question that we also be able to realize is that there is quite a very big difference between those who are very good at doing at documents, those who are very good at having documents on time, and the real projects on the ground. That's why maybe it's quite now high time that people can really go, or DBN should really come up with researchers who can go to the field and identify those projects, because sometimes we have standing projects, but just because documents are not submitted on time, just because a person is not aware of the whole process, or just because a person was not really assisted because the analyst who was dealing with the documents found some misspelling or some blank pages, doesn't mean that the project is not going to be good. But are we really going to have time to go and assist people and bring them to participate in real economic development? Because how I see things from where I'm standing, most of beautiful projects are not yet brought about just because of documents. Are the institution willing to go and meet people there? Are the institution willing to go and meet people so that these people will be assisted? Because most of the beautiful business plans are not submitted, or they are not well drafted. But these are things that could change our economic game plan. You sit in the street with people with big mind, but just because their proposal is not in order, just because they do not have collaterals, just because they are not really aware of how the process is operating, they'll end up being left out. And it's frustrating to see. Hello, good morning.
Yes, Shambe.
Yes, how are you?
Good, sir.
I'm well. How are things going?
I'm fine.
Are you not on holiday?
Me?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What is your contribution today?
No, I think what we need to look different. I think it just may be two things. Management by administration.
Okay.
Also, impact assessment, whether it's a policy, whether it was institution.
Okay.
Because when it's an institution, it's created by law.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need now to assess the impact of the law and the performance of the policy.
Okay, okay.
Even strategic plan, when you have it,
what
impact?
Okay.
And when we are talking of policy, policy is something that is created. It has a duration, you understand? Policy is just created to solve a certain problem within a specific period of time. You understand?
Yeah.
So you need now to say, if the policy is created at least for 10 years, or you need now maybe already in the half year, they started to see the impact. Policy has, has done something tangible or not, because you have to wait it. But you cannot assess the impact when you don't have the, you cannot manage by administration. These two words, management and administration. Management is a factor of production, you understand?
I hear you.
So, for you to manage, you need law. How you have to, the law that applies to the factor of production, who must do what must be done, how it must be done, all like that.
Continue.
So, the impact is the one that, because most of the things, you can see things have been done. But we're done within the law. The regulation. And it's an impact to it. Not what you want. And that is what we are lacking. That's
so,
why nobody is assessing. Even you take even, for instance, the issue of the affirmative action. It's good to that. For you, for me, I would say it's good, it's supposed to be a policy.
Yeah.
But no, I think I say it's good when it's an act, because it's supposed to evolve. You understand? Because it was not supposed to end. It was just supposed to evolve with time. But when we ask you the impact of the affirmative action policy,
there's no study done there.
There's nothing. You cannot make
you know if you want to provoke people, but it's an honest observation that you bring about to say it can also be a failure, can also be a reason we are not moving forward. Maybe it's not assessed well, or maybe it was abused.
The thing, it only gives you representation.
Not effectiveness.
In fact, representation in terms of what? Black or white.
Or gender.
A female or male. All the same. But the impact.
It's not there.
The impact, when they are represented, when you have an organization which is being represented in our fully, what is
One analyst also spoke exactly like you to say, okay, Namibia, we have 50-50 in parliament. We are celebrated in the world. What is the contribution of to say okay, women were brought to say we respect them. It's no more business as usual. Now it's 50-50. But are they really contributing? Are they really impacting even policies which are related to women? Are they really doing that? It's a question that was really asked, but it's not, but it brought a lot of debate to say, is that the only thing that we are going to do, or are they effective also?
That's why for me, one day in that committee, we're serious, but people, they try to mock you. Coming to us, I said, look, you guys, because you are saying now, on the issue of the, because when you say you comply, you comply that you have representation. What is the impact of it? Nobody wants to go there.
Because effectiveness.
You must tell me to say, if you have an organization that comply with the affirmative action in terms of representation, now this organization is performing now, have reached its target. Because if the representation cannot attach to the performance of the organization, because you must tell you to say, if the organization does not have equal representation, the performance is lower.
Because performance is what comes first, because you want an impact. Because if you are fighting poverty, you don't, it's not ready to say who is a driver. Is the bus reaching there on time?
Yes.
Because these things are, I think, matters of agency. Really, it's a very good point that you brought about, especially when it's coming to representation. To say, it's the same thing with young people, to say we want young people in parliament, but what are these young people doing? There is inclusive, but are they pushing the real agenda of what is needed to be done, or it's just the same?
Because that's what I said. We are not serious about. We are not considering the impact assessment. End of performance. Because you come up with a policy, but things are still the same. Because those targets, the data that you use to come up with a performance, maybe target or strategy plan, they were not really accurate. If they were accurate, they were not correct. If they were correct, they were not, because there are two ways.
Maybe, yeah. Because, you know.
The right and accurate and the correct data.
On time also.
Must go together. You can have data, but they are not correct. If they are correct, they are not accurate.
If they are accurate, they are outdated.
They are not right.
No, I hear you, but what is your view on the national planning?
Let me conclude there. No, she can't move. She has to follow me. I will meet her.
What's your nature?
You see, when you are using data that are not correct, one you know element is missing.
But I also have a question. Before I let you go, in terms of impact assessment, you know, National Planning Commission. It's one of the institutions that was supposed to direct us in terms of policy making and M&E and all these things. And now the DG stated that the institution did not submit their data, and they cannot trace how many jobs were created through our 2025. What is your view on that?
That's why we are saying, you know, when you know, there is a gap, there's a gap between what national planning is saying in terms of what the vision of the country is like, Vision 2030, and everything that come up there, the NDPC.
Mm-hmm.
What actually these people are doing in their respective ministry and the agencies like that. That's again.
They're on their own.
Because even the National Planning Commission might not also maybe tell you in their record, in their planning to say, look, in terms of job creation, this specific ministry was supposed to do A, B, C, D. In A, B, C, D, they were supposed now to create, these are the labor skills that are needed. Like, so, that's it. Maybe it, because the overall guideline was supposed to come from
the planning.
For them, they just supposed now to trace their impact.
Hold on.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
That's what I said. I think there is just a gap. Maybe there is just a gap between what the National Planning Commission wants in terms of those NDPs. That's why at the end of the day, how many NDPs, National Development Plan, were crafted?
And I also have a question about the cost. Those things are costly.
When you see, what was the gap between the first and the second and what was? Why they could not achieve these specific things in the world? Because we're just pushing paper. We are done with that.
At what percentage did you complete your mission?
Yes, because APC was supposed to say, look, in our national development plan, in the mining industry, you have a minister of what?
Yeah.
The agencies are there.
Mm.
Now, this is what needs to be achieved. That is needed. Mm.
These
are the projects that are need to be and the structures that need to be developed.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you have already the human capacity and skill and labor that is needed.
Even where to start also, because you can't just start from the scratch if you already had things in motion.
Yeah. So that's what we never even do an assessment on the national development one.
Just pushing paper,
Because things was the national, the Vision 2020 was a proper document, properly done.
Yeah.
But people just starting rushing to the next national development without get an assessment, impact assessment, to see what was done and what was done. You know what can be retained, what cannot be retained. We are just rushing to the same as if you are doing anything. So that is the way. Now, that's why we said there is also a gap. You know, you have even the Namibian WR, right?
Yeah.
Namibian WR has all those now infrastructure and resorts and whatnot.
Yeah, resorts, yeah.
They even have conferences and whatnot. But you see, when government now have to come up with even events, the events are not, my friend,
I think we are on the same page, because now apparently there's they want to come up with convention centers again.
Convention center when you have already those ones.
Those are the things now, because it's a very good observation, because
we only have confused people who want it. That's why you see people pushing only project things. As long as tender been awarded, people get money. And what is paining me in this country is money is committed, but there's nothing on the ground.
Yeah, that's what you are talking about today, because you can come back because it's 19 minutes past the hour 17, but you can call back.
It's okay.
All right, thank you. Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop to say money is there, money is being committed, money is put on the table, but when you're asking yourself, what is being done? There's a lot of policy conferences. We attend a lot of conferences. We do a lot of conferences in Namibia. Every time is a meeting after meetings. But where are the real projects? And the caller have mentioned impact assessment. Impact assessment to say, did you study the other document, or just because the year came to an end, we continue with another project, another document? When are we going to do the assessment? What are you going to do differently? Because it's very clear that we are still not on the same page, but maybe we are going to find each other there. In 2026, what are the Namibian key institutions going to do differently? You pick DBN, pick BON, pick, now, I don't know, the board also. They all have a new, fresh, leader. And I have trust to say, maybe with Bank of Namibia, they will do more, because in the past years, in terms of communication, they really did understandable job in terms of communication. But the main problem is connecting the higher structure to the ground, connecting the higher structure to the ground. And it's for the first time, especially at public-private sector forum, where I had the outgoing governor speaking really about housing. To say, no, Namibia, we have a crisis of housing. That issue needs to be addressed. The question is how. What policy is going to be put in place, and what will be done moving forward. And also the other thing is also the issue of economizing. I was somebody who was not really, because that is my observation to say, why do we really need new money? And what is the cost of new money? Because you have to spend money to get that money too, if you don't understand. Do we really need new money in Namibia? But now that is done, what other things can be done differently by the central bank moving forward that we economize and we look at the people on the ground? What instruction are you going to give these commercial banks which are making millions or billions of dollars? How do we work together? Not only in mini projects, but a responsible central bank that is saving us. And we are very happy about Mr. Johannes, especially leading Namibia through COVID-19. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. But we need to move at that pace now. We need to move at that pace. I don't think we need to move at that pace now. We need to change a lot of things as a matter of agency. Because yesterday I was still reading, it's my favorite document. And I hope when it comes into place, the financial sector transformation strategy, I was still reading it. It's my favorite document to say by 2035, are we really going to be financially included, all of us? Those who don't have bank accounts, those who don't have credit cards, those who don't have, access to loans, are you really going to be included? Are you really going to access money? By 2035, are we really going to to have access to loans from former financial institutions without collaterals, without anything. Are we really going to have that? Then we have the end. Now, when you have the end, what is the process? What is the process? Are we moving at that pace, or is just a document? Yeah, and I'm very happy that Mr. Waguta is there, especially moving to 2030 out there, to say maybe through that process, that document, because it's not right when there is a document, a strategic plan, then somebody was supposed to hand that go on leave or step down or got fired or something else, because a head of an institution is a champion of an institutional strategic plan, because he is the one who is seeing that direction. But if I just draft the strategic plan and then I leave, how going to drive that if I was supposed to be in charge of that? But now we have Tate Waguta. Let's see how things are going to be. Good morning.
Jombe, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, ne?
Yeah.
The issue of housing.
Come again?
The issue of housing.
Yeah.
Our problem lie in what you say, in what we what you refer to as a try to fix what is not broken.
What do you mean?
That our problem lies in a housing, for instance. Lie in what we are trying to fix what is not broken.
Mm.
We try to fix the housing industry or whatever.
Mm.
But the housing industry was not broken.
Mm.
Because we do not understood it.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, if before independence, a gardener can afford the house. Ne?
Mm-hmm. Even a cleaner.
A gardener and a cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Can even a person who working in the house, a maid, But now you can even find a clerk or whatever, or those accountant or what, but she cannot afford the house.
Then a bank teller cannot afford.
Because there was only one thing there. There was nothing wrong with the law. We did not change the law. The law was just there. And it's still there. There is only one thing that we something was done wrong. To say number one, the government, the state pull its own road, criminal road on housing. Number two, because we also take away the responsibility of the employer. Because back then, if you are employing somebody, you must make sure that this person has a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So the responsibility of the employer was what? To go to the municipality. Municipality was just to build housing or allocate land.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine now, if I'm an employer, I have 10 million. I have 10 million and I have 5 workers.
Mm-hmm.
10 million and I want to build them houses.
Mm.
Then I go to the municipality.
Yeah.
The land is on 10 million.
You are finished.
You are finished.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
The municipality was only supposed to allocate land, service land.
Mm.
Even for free, there's nothing wrong there. Because how are you going to get money? Because rate and tax is how you are going to recover your money. That's the cost of recovery part. Because number one, those people, they are going to use municipal services. They are like electricity, water, rate and taxes, and everything.
They are there to stay.
They are there. You know, ne? Municipality is something big that cannot collapse and is going to exist until Jesus comes. It's like a country.
It's a government on its own.
No. Why do you need to make a profit?
No, it's a good observation, and I was also trying to look at the models of country which gave better housing to say what model did they use. Even Libya was not a democracy, né? According to the principle of democracy, but they had a very good project of giving houses to their people. But it's almost like what you are saying.
Because I'm saying you have local authorities, even staff because they don't have houses or plots. So, but we are saying these are the people now have to sell to make sure that they give land, the housing to other people. But the provision to give the housing provision for staff member is there. You see, it's there in the act, but we are not implementing it. But what is wrong? There's nothing to prevent us to say, look, you sell us the land, then you say, look, all the employees, that is your F, start bidding and you start paying tomorrow at the end of the month.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with say you get the statistic of the public servant or the employees, ne? In the whole town council, you say in the town,
yeah,
resident, you say, look, you say this all that thing even for 1 billion or something, you have 500,000, even 5,000 or 10,000 plots. Then you go to the police officer and you know what, bring your thing, everybody wants, those are your F. You start, the value of the F is this one, even 10,000. Then you start paying tomorrow at the end of the month. What do? We put a bank in the building. We put a developer.
Yeah.
Because we are at the infant stage. We need to build a society that is strong first before we start implicating, putting those things now.
With a strong, I hear you, the basics.
We were supposed to stop. Look, we were supposed to, which are at least 90% of the people in the house, in the urban area, have houses.
Yeah.
When now the economy is going, now you start now pulling out now because everybody has a place to stay.
I hear you. It's a crisis. Because it's a crisis now. Area. Yeah, yeah.
If you want to build a house, you are a public servant, right? You want a house.
Yeah.
They give you that form, you go to the bank. The bank have to decide whether you qualify or not. In fact, what you qualify, there's no house in that market.
It's not.
Your qualifying amount cannot.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
That's why the government is cheating. Cheating in sense that to say you give people like a housing subsidy, but people are not using their housing subsidy. Why? Because the market value cannot talk.
They cannot afford them.
Yes, affordability is not there. And that is a total cheating. That's why we said, look, if it's like that, give the money cash.
Give money to the people, yeah.
That's why I said the problem is municipality. Because the law of municipality and the town council and village councillors there, those guys, they don't want to give land to the people. They want to sell the land, even virgin land. To what? To proper developers. Then the proper developers, they go to the bank to get money to sell the land. Then now, who's going to cut? And they also need both the bank and the private developer, they want to make profit.
And they are making profit from this one who do not have anything.
Yeah, but when we say, look, what is wrong if the municipality and government just gives us, look, these are 500 million or just to service land. Once you are done, you start giving F to the people, to the employees. You say this is the value of the F after we service. At least we need to recover something. Okay, the plot is 50,000. It's correct.
Yeah,
what is your subsidy as a cleaner? I qualify for 200,000 or 400,000 something or 800. Then value of the what? You start paying tomorrow. You'll be on your F.
No, I hear but you. I hear you.
You even find the proper developer people who bought to land and they never bid anything. They're just leveraging on the land.
It's true.
You understand?
No, I hear you.
We create a problem ourselves because we were trying to fix something which is not broken.
I have a question to say, are those who are in charge of, making sure that basic needs such as housing is addressed, do people put themselves in an ordinary person's shoes to say a life of a cleaner, maybe in the next 5 years, let's say a hardworking cleaner. You work hard, you get money, either you get a bonus or you get one thing. What are you going to afford? Because sometimes in that zone, you will not survive.
Let me tell you, a cleaner, if he doesn't find a rich guy.
Come again?
A cleaner, if he cannot get married to a rich guy, then he's not going to afford a house.
Even if he's hardworking, he will not.
Unless he have extra businesses there.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no. You see? Even in a simple accountant, you cannot afford the house. Maybe in other towns, but in Windhoek, you can't.
Oh, it's a true story. It's a reality.
That's a honest opinion. They need now to get married. Maybe they put salary together to make something happen.
Yeah, some that's why some marriage are economic arrangements.
Yeah. But you are not married. The person is not, he's not want to get married. He just get married because he want to buy a house.
You want safety.
So here we are saying, on the issue of housing, it's our own problem because it was a responsibility of the employer, ne? Or employer to make sure kucha. He has his employer. His employee has an accommodation. So when they meet kwaya to ngano flat, they are no longer doing that. Because the system was hijacked by the property developer at the municipality. The municipality only want to sell land to property developer. They no longer want to service the land and give even to an employer to buy. Because if the employer comes through, I have 10 workers.
Yeah.
10 million, at least I want land to build housing for my people.
There's a middleman.
They don't want to be a local size. They just said, okay, if that is the case, we are going to service.
Then you build.
Now the problem is now when they are servicing also, they want to put road. Ne? They want to put road at the same time, which is even more expensive. It's good at this stage that you need to have a road immediately. Mm. But you must look at the development stage where you are and the financial capacity of the people.
It's a very good observation because when you look at even the infrastructure development within the city itself, you are asking yourself to say, okay, infrastructure is coming to the people, but is this crisis really going to be solved? If you have to be honest enough, and when is it going to be solved? If you just ask yourself to say, look at the whole window, look at the informal sector. Yes, we see development is going, infrastructure is going into the people. But at what level, at what stage are we going to say housing is no more a crisis in the city or in many other towns? Because it's like the number is continuing to increase every year.
The informal settlement is not going to decrease because there's no plan for it.
Because the pace is very slow and I think it's uncoordinated too.
There's no plan for it. Nobody. That's why I always say going to election over and over. I always said, if you wanted to see that there is a change in leadership, get to the informal settlement.
Mm-hmm.
If they are still there, increasing, my dear, I will tell you in the next 5 years or so, But nobody ever seems to say, look, we need to end this thing. Remember, you take, for instance, Osona or Uganda or Bosona.
Yeah, I see.
That's a private initiative. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
It was just done maybe within 5 years, everything is already there.
I think it's working, that one.
But look, I'm talking about the pace, how fast the things was done.
Mm-hmm.
Not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in certain selling to the people, who are the people buying houses there? They are public servants, majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have, even some municipality employees also, they have been there. Okahanja and also municipality of Windhoek, they are also there.
They are small houses, but they are understandable.
Let me tell you, but municipality, together with the government, they find it difficult to give accommodation to their own people.
But I think there is a lot of players involved there because you are pulling out maybe somebody's bread because the problem they are saying if I want to make my point to say they say if the problem is benefiting people, it's very difficult for that problem to be solved. You speak about property developers and others. Yeah,
that's the concept of saying you are pulling bread out of people's mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Why you are suffocating the majority?
No, I'm not saying it, supporting it. I'm saying it. Sometimes people are pulling the strings too. They see that when you when you are genuine enough, they also move out of the picture. That is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because the thing is to say, look, the municipality must do its own role. Premier's role, which is housing, it's the, in the record of the even political parties, they don't need to apparently manifesto when it comes to local authority.
They just need to take the act.
The local authority is already a manifesto because what means it sends and service that need to be given is already defined there.
So you don't need to waste time writing the manifesto, it's already there.
No.
You don't know how to do it. Just say I'm going to implement it on time.
You only need to come in with the how.
the document is already there.
You need to come with the how part. How part?
You are making sense.
There is nothing which is not all the services that
people need. People need.
It's already defined. You only need to come with the how part. The housing part is there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Right. Yeah. Thank you for the contribution. To say there's a lot of players involved, especially in the issue of housing. And I made a very important observation to say Local Authority Act is already a manifesto on its own. Even political parties were not supposed to expand that. They're just supposed to say, how am I going to do it? And there was one politician who mentioned, is it 500? It's 5,000 housing, what that? But I say, it's a plan which has been, something which has been discussed in the public for quite some time. But the question is how and when? Because when you look at the status of development in Namibia, when you look at the money coming in, money coming out, institutions are reporting, you are just asking yourself to say, the money which was supposed to draft these documents and publish it, why can't it be used to do other things? Because there are actually little differences, particularly when it's coming to plans and programs of actions which have been presented. You find a conference which is full of people, but people are just celebrating a document, action plan. Let us clap hands. It's a strategic plan which is being that was the duty. That was a duty. Most of the things that we celebrate is what we celebrate, what we want and not what we have achieved. That is why we are saying, especially those who are at the forefront of Namibia economic development, will say in 2026, let us do things differently, especially financial institutions. If somebody who just need money to boost his business was taking 6 months or 2 years to get fundings, why can't we increase that to 1 month? Because some people, they give up on institutions. Because like I tell you, I meet with people with really business, good business ideas. But just because of the system, not because they are not able to do, just because of the system, the requirements, the structure which is there, people end up giving up. That's why we are saying the best projects are not yet the one which are funded. The best projects are not even the one which have something on paper. But what are institutions going to do? And the issue of housing, it's a very critical issue. Everybody wants an affordable house. Everybody wants an affordable house. Not only affordable, but secured and safe. Because one thing to have an affordable house is one thing to have a secured house. The one which can protect you, the one which your kids can also feel that they are safe. So those are the basic needs, and they are non-negotiable when it's coming to development. And it's also a matter of how are we going to coordinate institutions, because there's something that we should continue admitting and should continue to work on very fast, especially in 2026, is coherence and coordination of institution. It has been stated that the fragmentation of institution can still continue, and uncoordinated institution is still a factor, because everybody is pulling on their own direction. Had we not have incoherence, uncoordinated institution, we would have data already now. which are stating to say 10 green schemes in Namibia, they produce these tons of food. But because of uncoordination, because of a lack of monitoring and evaluation methods, we are still going to run from this corner to collect those data. We don't have one institution which can comprehend those, can compile those data. And we have, if you have better reporting, it's also easy for people to follow. Because I start to like data. If you give me a speech and you are speaking, and we have the best speech writers in Namibia, corporate politics, and vague diplomatic speeches, they can assist in that time, but they will not really, people also see to say, no, man, I think we could have done something than what we are hearing. So,
if you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the span. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, Polanify, make sure that, you don't just sit and talk, but you also must make sure that you have an understandable meal that you are having with your loved ones, with your partner. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. And no matter what is going on, they are saying you should not abandon eating. You should not abandon, saving yourself. And, in terms of the conversation of development, and it's also a matter of changing within us individuals to say, as long as we want institutions to change, we must also look at the people that we are sending to those institutions. That can also start with us as individuals to say we are already seeing how things are moving, but how are we raising our kids? Are we raising our kids to face the world of AI? Are we raising disciplined kids now that we know better? Are we raising, our children to face the world of fast-growing technology? What are we teaching? Are we educating students with a different mindset to say development is not in the boardroom, but development is on the ground? Because those are also things that we need to look at. And there is a established system of governance and administration, and to say when you are educating people in land administration, in urban and rural development, in public management, in governance, what new set of skills are going to give them, which is different from other set of skills? Because when they come to the system, not only they change the system, but they able to understand what is expected from them. It also change the lives of individuals, because, like I'm saying, we have a lot on our plate. Looking at 2030, we have a lot on our plate, and it's not like it's not achievable. Everything can be achieved, but are we talking to each other, or we are competing with each other unnecessarily? And are the industrial leaders also, because sometimes these are the people with more power than even politicians, because if you are heading an institution with the resources, if you are heading an institution with, you know, resources, for example, if you are heading like GIPF, one of the most powerful institutions, that is economic powerhouse. If you are heading BON, if you are heading NAMFISA, you are big. But the question worries arise to say, what other things are we going to do differently apart from what is on the table? Because what is on the table may save well in terms of compliance with what is expected from you, but it's not saving well in terms of changing of lives, because every institution established was supposed to move toward that direction of making sure that the Namibians are taken out of poverty. Do we have that mindset when we are at the highest level of leadership and governance? And where are we doing things wrong? Because if the institution which was supposed to give us data is also saying I don't have data, how are we going to move? At what pace are we moving? Because the question should always be asked to say, if Namibia is a bus moving toward the destination called Vision 2030, where we are going to celebrate, we are going to be more happy, and the driver of that bus is our president, Dr. Netumbo, we are all in that bus. Are we speaking the same language, or somebody is also trying to jump out through the window, or somebody is causing fight within that bus? And when we are moving toward that destination of Vision 2030, who is our mechanic? That is our monitoring and evaluation tool to assess that we can only run at this pace. Are we moving at 120? Are we at 180? Or we are still at the service station? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. Do we have enough resources to sustain us throughout the way? Or we are continuing to borrow so that we can fund our trip? And at what condition is our bus, that is Namibia, moving toward Vision 2030? Are they scrapping that bus while it's on the move with resources? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. And it's 51 minutes past the hour of 7. And you'll be able to engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083. 288-401. We are asking you to say, what do you want to be done in 2026? What do you think institutions, particularly financial institutions, must do differently looking at 2026? And we are saying, as long as we are speaking about, you know, International Monetary Fund, the change of international financial architecture, as economists like saying, we must also come on the ground and say, when it's coming to national financial architecture, what can we do differently? When it's coming to the goals and objective, what can we do differently? When it's coming to housing, what can be done differently? Because what we have been doing is not working, and we must admit that what we've been doing is not working. If it was working, we could have data to say, you have a crisis, then you go hand on to that crisis straight. Then you come out to say, no, I don't have enough data, my friend. I still try to find out. But you are going to that battlefield of fighting poverty eradication. So, yeah, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we come and conclude and look at the way forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka okone ushenife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onore tatu imwe bali heali Nola natu heali bali no heali Ile kumberewa Nora hetatu natu Bali o hetatu batatu O mafilane Eagle FM The Eye
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and looking at on the other news, it was stated that when you look at Ethiopia Airlines has announced a massive order for 120 new aircraft, and this was confirmed by the CEO of Ethiopia Airlines. And this become one of the largest fleet expansion plans in Africa aviation history. When it comes to Africa and aviation, you can't say you are a traveler if you have never used Ethiopian Airway. You've never used Ethiopian, airplane, because they are dominating Africa. And they've ordered 120 new aircraft, and you must be able to understand that this is a good business, because when you are traveling, especially in the continent of Africa, Ethiopia airline is dominating. The other time, my colleague Happy Juju traveled out of the country, and I'm seeing her with Ethiopia airline. And we'll be able also to see that that is what is being pronounced here, to say they are expanding. And it seems like when it's coming to aviation, although Ethiopia has their own challenges of debt, they have their own challenges also of fighting with the neighbors, particularly when it's coming to the resources, you'll be able to understand that there are things that they are doing well. There are things that they are doing well, especially when it comes to Ethiopia Airlines. And this will be huge. This will be massive. And maybe while we are speaking about Namibia Air, especially looking at the replacement of Namibia Airline, especially looking at the commitment from politicians and also industrial players, who are saying Namibia cannot afford not to have an airline. Let's see, maybe it's also a very important thing to look at benchmarking in Ethiopia, to look at how did they deal with the management of their airlines, how did they deal with their management of their airline, what business model are they using, especially when it comes to management of their airlines. Who is invested there? How do they buy their planes? How do they deal with their organizational management? Because it's not correct. I think out of all the things, we are the only a country in SADC without an airline. And morning.
Yeah, morning, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Mm.
So those people like who are working in Soprite and other companies, and they could also, and especially those who have coordinated, who are coordinating their effort and their resources to do other things.
Mm.
Are they also not, are they prevented from the housing space to provide housing and also subsidy for their employee?
They are prevented by who? People are prevented by the economy. And if you listen to the caller correctly, he even indicated to say even those with house allowance are not able to afford houses.
Yes, I understand. So can't you come up with the, because in the market, it is the people, the builder, the developers who should come up with the market price. So now if the subsidy is provided, say for the government, and the government has provided subsidy, each and everyone, and now it is not for you to come in the market and say, yes, we are coming in with this product to address this category of people and these other things. And there are regulations also to do that. If there is act for local government or whatever you have mentioned there, is it now difficult for the developers or initiators or whoever to come up with a product that can be affordable?
Mm.
Is that so difficult? Who is preventing you?
So you think it's very easy to afford the house in Namibia? Is that what you are saying?
No, I'm not saying it's very easy.
It's coming out that way, and is that maybe the solution that we are proposing?
If it's a solution that I'm proposing, or if it's not a solution, it's not viable, it's not, okay, you say, no, it's not viable.
No. I want to get it from you. I'm not criticizing your point. I just want to get it to say.
I think it can be viable. It can be viable. It's doable. So if it is doable, then what is wrong with that? Because we even heard that, yes, in one of this report manifesto, and there was a directive that, yes, people, even if you are not working with the government, working with Soprite or Eagle FM or wherever, you can still get subsidy through institutions like GIPF and many other institutions. And the government is also subsidizing you and this other thing. If that internal arrangement can be done within the institution, the people are not going to still afford, or the product in the market cannot be still affordable.
Okay, maybe while we are there, you spoke about GIPF and you spoke about the government. Where do you think money is going to come from if we still have to borrow money to sustain our own budget again from African development?
Borrowing is not a problem. If you are borrowing, it's something that you cannot repay back. And when you are borrowing,
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, where is money going to come from? Because we are struggling with our operation.
Money is not plugged from the tree. You create money through economic activity.
No, then you are talking, what economic activities were created in the past 9 months?
In the past 9 months, nothing was created at all.
No, I'm asking you.
So there's more. You see, even when Mr. Fuda was mentioning about this, when they pay out of that loan.
Come again.
And she was saying that we also need to mobilize resources within the domestic for consumption.
She was saying, and she did not.
She did not do.
I don't know. I'm saying she was just saying she did not implement.
Maybe it was implemented.
That is now the problem that we have to say. We do not want to be vague and say maybe we wanted
this. But you are saying the nation, that one. Are you saying that nothing you are because you
no. Where is it? Where is it? Because that is what we want to know.
It's there.
Where?
So just find out. Research and find out.
No, look.
Whether what you are speaking is going or not.
Because what we are saying today is that we want real data. We want the real data.
Find data. Well, you want me to provide data for you?
No.
Find data and find out when you were saying this, because you are even a journalist, when you were saying this and this, where is the data or where is the money coming from? All I know is that there is a mobilization of resources to be done. Even ourselves, we can also mobilize for resources. We can do that. So the money is not going to be just plucked. And they also have reserves. When they pay off that loan, when they pay off that loan, so does it mean that the government cannot borrow again, or ours, even if you have a loan, paid it off, and if there's another need that you think there is a need, you can still borrow, as long as you can service that loan.
But what did you do with the money?
Well, you don't know where the money is coming from.
No, the question is, I'm just asking a provocative question, but we understand the what the Eurobond. The Eurobond was used for road infrastructure. That one we can see. We have best roads. That one we can see.
Development and all these other things that are still going on.
But you know, Uncle Bana, what we need to look at. Let us look at what is going to work for us in the future. Because if you are just saying something was done and we are not seeing it,
if the directive is given that yes, anybody when you are working not only with the government people, so you can also buy your house, get a subsidy. You can be subsidized, and then maybe mobilize those companies to also do something like it. The way they are doing it with this, what is this other one, the meat market and all these other things. This money is coming from their coffer. So if that is the case, they can also then do some arrangements and negotiate with the government or those institutions to give the loans for housing to people. Because it's already given. Maybe it's just us who are not taking it up. Okay. Just like pensioners. Pensioners are also given that mandate to go and also buy a house through there. I mean, to GIPF. So the same applies to any other person. Maybe those provisions are there provided, but we are not making use of them. If you are not leveraging on them, then let's do something. If they are not true things, then let's find out whether they are viable or is true things or not.
JBF is also losing our money. They lost almost...
I know they are losing money, but they are still having...
So you have the same argument to say if you lose 200,000, if you lose 800 million, you are saying it's nothing. We should not hold you accountable.
No, I'm not saying...
But why are you saying they are still having...
But do you think they finish? Our money is invested in there.
What if it's your money which is lost?
No, but it is now finished. They express it. Are they not going to give sales again because that money is lost with this Marshall or what is it? That farming and things like that. Is it not just perhaps their unethical leadership that they are losing the money, and they should also follow up? So to make sure that money cannot get lost like that.
Yeah, because that's why I'm saying in this economy, we cannot even afford to lose a $20.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. But if they squander money now there, now the whole thing, everything should just stop. Nobody should get money again. No project should be funded again through GIPF.
I'm just saying because... If the institution did not do right or the investment is lost, something must be done. Because it's not only, we have seen Namibia institution have collapsed. If you are saying we still have, do you understand?
I'm just indicating to you. Your ethical consideration need to be put in place, the thing. Because they lose the money.
through those entities like Marshall and all these other things, like I'm mentioning for JPF and the many others, they need to be directly directed. We are not saying that, yes, because this one have lost money now. The projects that are coming, development projects that are coming, shouldn't be funded anymore because this other one lost money. So what we need to do is just to reorganize and make sure that the ethical consideration is the key number one, so that they don't end up chopping money and losing money.
No, we are on the same page. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And we are looking at economic development, and we are speaking about Namibia. And the other day, or the other month, see, the Minister of Works and Transport is determined, especially when it comes to reviving Namibia Airline. Let us hope we are going to get it back, because looking at Ethiopia, Ethiopia continue to make more money from the aviation industry. Best pilots are trained there. And they are also going to buy around 120 to intensify their trade. And looking at the issue of continental free trade area, I think that is an opportunity, because transport is a trade infrastructure. An airline person will just eat the lunch in Addis Ababa and going to sleep in Cairo. Then tomorrow there is a business engagement in Joburg, just one way, Cape to Cairo. Be able to realize that when you have strong trade infrastructure, particularly in that area of an airline, you'll be able to realize that those are some of the things that will really help in intensifying of trade. And also to say, maybe it's a high time that Namibia should learn from Ethiopia, especially on how they manage their airline. And also not to be, you know, it's a very good thing to learn a lesson, to say, we don't necessarily need to blame ourselves for not managing an airline very well, but we should also learn to say, when it's coming back, how are we going to do it differently? How are we going to learn from others, and what did they do right? How come countries such as Zimbabwe, which was blocked in terms of trade, which also suffered for almost 20 years sanctions, even within African sanctions, but managed to operate its airline, maintaining it, and they still have their pride. And not only for the sake of pride, and also for the sake of business and operation at large. So, dear listeners, we are going to a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And, yeah. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll transfer the mic to Ondangwa, to the big mic, so be able to unpack the day.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano.
Yeah, it's 12 minutes past the hour of 8, and we are transferring the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now. See you around.